Hi, welcome back to a new episode of Shut Your Face. Yes, I have kind of changed some things around, but it's still just as cool. Anyhow, if you're not a member of our Patreon, what are you doing? It's really cool. So head over there and become a member so you can get early access. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and let us begin.
Hello, ma'am.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, is this Tiffany?
It is.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, it's hump day. We're halfway there.
Heck yes.
Well,
I have to cuddle with me too.
Well, no, you're a pretty busy lady, so I hesitated on asking you to do this because I know how busy you are, but I'm really glad that you're taking the time to do this.
Absolutely. I appreciate you asking.
So, let's go ahead and get into it. And now, you've got your daughter there, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
All right. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Pretty good.
That's good.
It's the school night.
It's only 7 o'clock here, though.
Yeah, true. Well, I'm in North Carolina, so it's 8 o'clock, which is still not late. But if they like saving times, you feel like it's way later.
I agree 100%.
Tiffany. So, you guys run Miss Wahoo.
I do, and Dakota is actually the Teen Miss Wahoo Rodeo Queen this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I kind of know this already.
Yes, you do. As one of our amazing sponsors, you do know that.
Well, you have to have great places to sponsor. So, anyway, so Tiffany, you help run it, and you pretty much run it because, I mean, you do everything. But it's a group of you guys, and you run Miss Wahoo Rodeo.
Yep. I co-direct with Hallie, and so we actually, and I think you've touched base with Casey on this a little bit. We started it back up last October for the first time in 16 years. So we're very excited to have a queen title on the eastern end of Nebraska.
I didn't know it was 16 years. I don't remember that. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's been a while. And, you know, we very much lack the rodeo queens and rodeos in general on the eastern end of the state. So we felt that it was a need to bring something like this on this end of the state to educate the kids, to educate families what really is involved in the rodeo aspect, not just being a rodeo queen, but what it takes to be in the rodeo industry or in the livestock and agriculture industry as well.
So what made you guys want to just start this back up after so long?
My daughter is my biggest reason, really. You know, she at 3 years old decided she was going to be a rodeo queen, and she will be 18 actually next week. So for the last 15 years, she has said, "Mom, I'm going to be a rodeo queen." And I am not a horse person by any means, but as a mom and a single one at that, you do what's best for your child. And she's like, "Mom, we really need to have something on our end of the state so that way people know what it's like." And
right.
So to me, she's she's the reason I do it.
Yeah.
So
is there no other, is there no other competing or, not competing, is there no other, the only other ones like on the other side of the state? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So you would have had to travel?
Yeah, and we have traveled a lot over the last, how many years have you been doing this, Dakota?
Eight
years. We've traveled a lot. The closest one to us is 2 hours away.
Okay.
So there's a need, and there's a lot of, you know, this will be the 70th anniversary for the Wahoo PRCA Rodeo, so there's no reason that we can't have queens to represent you know, a rodeo that's 70 years old. So in the past, they've had some people that have came and gone, and we signed a 5-year contract, and hoping, you know, at the end of the 5 years, we can extend that. And we've had a really good working relationship with our rodeo board and the rodeo committee in itself. And so we're very fortunate. You know, I know some of the directors don't always get that privilege, but we're very thankful that we do have, you know, such a good working relationship with them.
Yeah. Now, Dakota, let me ask you this. What made you want to be a rodeo queen? Like, what did you see? What happened for you to decide that?
Okay. So at 3 years old, I went to my very first rodeo out at Nebraska Land Days, which is the Buffalo Bill Rodeo. And there I saw this, you know, didn't know what it was. It was just a really pretty girl with a crown on her head. And, of course, you know, as a three-year-old, you're like, I want to know what that is, you know, like, check it out, because you're always, you know, three, you're curious. And yeah. So I got to meet her. Her name was Sierra Peterson, and she was Miss Rodeo Nebraska in 2012. And so meeting her, I, you know, she just was a really big inspiration to me, and I really wanted to do that. Well, we didn't really know what we were doing, so we kind of just kind of waited a few years till I was around 10 to start competing. So before then, I just showed horses. I was really big into showing horses, and so that kind of just helped me work on my horsemanship skills. But going into my first competition, we really didn't know what we were doing. Over the years, we gained lots of experiences and have really known what a rodeo queen is, and with all this knowledge I have gained, I'm able to help coach and train younger girls to want to become rodeo queens.
Oh, cool. So you coach too?
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's really awesome, because I remember Casey kind of speaking about, like, if you're going to get into doing something like this, they have people that do the coaching, like, full-time, and if I ever did it, I would definitely need that, so that's cool.
Yes.
Now, you said you showed horses before you started doing, like, the rodeo stuff. Was that a hard transition for you, or was that easy for you to kind of, I mean, obviously you already had horse background, but was it, like, hard for you to go from your average kind of showing environment to a rodeo environment?
I mean, I would definitely, yes, it was, because, you know, as a 10-year-old, you're competing for, you know, something big. You're representing this rodeo. And it was just kind of different seeing all these other girls that knew what they were doing. And, like, yes, I could do the pattern, but I wasn't the fastest one at my queen run or, you know, doing my flyby. So, you know, I just had a pleasure horse at the time. And, you know, it was just kind of, you know, it was just a learning experience as you went along. Like, the first time I actually ever competed for a title, my horse rolled on me because she had bladder stones. And, It was a very interesting day. I think I came out with second runner-up out of 5 girls. And, you know, that was pretty
amazing. And the horse was okay? Was the horse okay?
Oh, yeah. She's okay. She was
okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And, you know, that was just kind of what really piqued me. I didn't win a title for about 2 years. So, like, I kind of started losing motivation. But I had this one girl. She was kept pushing me. And she became my miss for a title. I had my first ever title. And it was kind of a fun experience to get to run with her and be a sash sister with her and, you know, learning what a rodeo queen is. Because, you know, when you first get your title, you really don't know what you're doing very much. Like, yes, you won the title, but there's a lot more to it than trying out for it.
Well, yeah, you just – what? So what is a sash sister? That would be a tongue twister.
Yeah, so a sash sister is basically kind of just like a group of girls you're with. So my sash sisters are my miss and my little miss this year, and it's just kind of you build a bond with those two girls because, you know, you're with them a whole year and you get to really personally know them, and uh-huh. It's always fun to pass down a sash to, you know, the next girl who wins, so you also get to build a connection with them as well. So we just referred to ourselves as sash sisters.
Well, that's cool. That's fun.
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, trying to do that stuff by yourself would be a little intimidating.
Yes, it is.
Now, let me ask you this question. Back to Tiffany. As far as, like, you know, being a mom in this whole game and doing all this kind of stuff and everything, obviously the moms get together because the daughters probably get together. Do you think that's kind of helped you as far as learning the ropes when you guys first started it back up?
Absolutely. You know, over the years, you meet some wonderful, amazing people in every aspect of everything. You know, you're not going to get along with everybody, but we've been very fortunate that I have met a lot of nice moms along the way. You know, and Dakota's met some very good friends and close friends out of all of this. So having those moms to lean on and say, hey, why don't you try this instead of this, is super very helpful, you know. And I've always went in with the mentality that it is never about me. It's right. Always about the girls. How can we make the girls better? What can we do to improve their confidence, you know, or their horsemanship? Or how can we bring them out of their shell and become a better public speaker? Or, hey, you know, you need to work on this for modeling. Or, you know, there's all kinds of different things that people don't know that go into being a director or the behind the scenes. Like, our first rodeo this year, I didn't realize, you know, all of the behind-the-scenes things. And, yeah, you see those things. You know, you go to the rodeos, but you don't see those things. So it's very much a learning curve, but it's fun, and I enjoy it. And I enjoy working with not only my directors, but also the parents this year are fabulous, you know. And we've got a great set of girls for the first year, and or getting out there and exposing the girls to the communities. And we were at an event last week for Halloween, and Dakota had went to this school a couple weeks prior, and they seen her, and they were so excited to see her. And that, to me, is what this is all about, is to get those kids involved and to be excited to see the queens outside of the rodeo.
Yeah, because I was fixing to say, it's not, most people think, like me, actually, before I, you know, got introduced to you and Casey and all this kind of stuff, to me, I just thought it was almost a beauty pageant. And so your common person, like me, it's interesting to know that that's not exactly what it is. Like, you know, Dakota can probably speak on this. You guys have to do a lot of stuff to try out for that title and then to keep the title. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not just looking pretty with a crown.
Yes. I feel like, so when people assume we're beauty pageants, I say, yes, we are beauty pageants, but we love dirt. Because we always refer to dirt as cowgirl glitter because, you know, we're in the arena half of the time. Yes, when we compete, but more than likely, you'll always see us in the arena. So with that being said, like, we have responsibilities and jobs that we have to know. So, because, like, yes, we're there to do our job, but we have to, you know, look good and represent our titles well.
Do you think, of the things that you've done outside of, like, rodeo activities, what are some of the things that you've done outside of just rodeo stuff?
So I have been in 4-H for about 8 years.
No, you're on 10.
Oh, 10. Wow. So, been in 4-H for 10 years. I've definitely have made lots of friends through that. My school recently just got an FFA chapter, so I am the first president of my FFA chapter. I've been involved.
Cool.
Yes, it is. And it's very exciting for my school since, you know, we're a rural, like, you know, lots of farmers in our community. And
I would have thought they would have had that long before now.
Right? And I was involved in FCCLA, and my sophomore year I went nationally to Denver and competed nationally, and I placed 11th out of how many other people were in my division. So I feel like I've been involved in quite a few things. I rodeo on the side of everything as a rodeo queen, and that's definitely helped me be the person who I am today.
Well, I think that's great. I think that's awesome. And but as far as like Tiffany, with the other things that they're required to do, it's mm-hmm. not all just rodeo though. They are required to have to do like some type of community work, right?
Yep. So we require them to go out in the community, and they have to get involved, and they have to go to, like, they go to the nursing home, and they go to schools and libraries, and they also have to go get sponsorships. So, you know, it's not just involved at the rodeo. There's so much involved outside of that rodeo. You know, we require them to go to 2 school visits and 2 nursing home or assisted living visits. And so you have to do more than just be at the rodeo, you know, those 3 nights or 2 nights or how many ever nights that rodeo may be. And then we go outside. I think last year we traveled probably 15,000 miles just going to other rodeos and representing titles and, you know, going to communities and getting involved. And there's a lot to it that people don't know about because they just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Like me, like I just didn't know. Now, when you say you guys go to other rodeos to represent your title, do you just go and make a presence, or do you have to go and like they introduce you, or what happens when you do that? And and these rodeos that you're going to that are outside of your rodeos, because let me back up. So Miss Wahoo Rodeo is one rodeo.
Yep. Yep. And okay. So if in the state of Nebraska, I can't even tell you exactly how many rodeos there are, but each, you know, like there's some counties that have their own rodeo. In Nebraska, we have Mid-States that is not, it's just Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota, Missouri. I think is what it is. And so they compete in those states, but in Nebraska, there's so many sanctioned rodeos for the Mid-States. And so you go to those rodeos and you represent your title, and they do, you know, they'll help clear the arena, or they'll carry sponsor flags. And they also get like what we call a flyby, and they get introduced in their title. And sometimes you get a little fun fact about them. Just depends on how many girls show up. And
that's
like
cool.
So the Wahoo Rodeo is a PRCA rodeo. So if you go to another PRCA rodeo, you're guaranteed a Queens run, where, you know, like if you just represent like a Mid-States rodeo, you don't necessarily get a Queens run if the committee will not allow it. Last year we had 3 girls that showed up that were not PRCA titles, but we were very fortunate that we could, you know, give them that opportunity to carry a flag and to get their Queens run and help clear the arena. And, you know, those things are fun for those girls. They love getting out in that arena and, you know, running around and waving and seeing all the little kids' smiles, I think, is what really, you know, makes them happy.
Well, yeah, I mean, and also, you know, they don't know who they're inspiring, just like Dakota. You know, if I was a little girl in the stands watching this majestic queen on a horse, I'd be like, well, that's cool, you know, like, so they probably have to keep that in mind too, you know.
Yeah, and I think from Dakota, you know, Dakota and I have talked extensively, but from her standpoint, she enjoys it because she knows she's inspiring some little kid around, you know, you never know. She's had little girls that she got to talk to at rodeos and now is seeing the rodeo queens. And so I think for her, that's, you know, amazing. And for me as a parent, I love seeing it. I love seeing her interact with all those kids and the excitement that they see, and I just enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a positive thing for girls growing up, young girls growing up, I think, to be able to express themselves and work hard in an environment that's going to support that positivity and that type of, that type of lifestyle. I mean, it's a really good thing. Now, let me ask you this. You said Miss Wahoo Rodeo is PRCA. So
correct.
The Mid-States, it's not PRCA?
That is correct. That's just sanctioned in those, you know, regions. So that many states, it's just those states. Now, a PRCA title,
they're like all over the United States, and they are a pro rodeo cowboy association. And so those are like where like the professionals like compete at. So like when we're talking about professionals, we're talking about like Kaylee Kinzel, Barrel Racer,
okay.
You know, like the big dogs. And, you know, having a PRCA title gives you like an advantage to really get to like meet those people, and it's just a fun experience because this summer I got to meet the who was it? Rocket Steiner, who's like a big time bronc rider, and he's like really
big. Yes, I've seen that name.
Yeah, he's the number one going into the NFR.
Yeah,
so you know, you get those experiences that not everybody gets. So it's kind of cool. Like, she's like, Mom, Rocker's here, I want a picture. And I'm like, yep, we're going to make that happen. And see, you know, those, they're very, for the most part, are very down to earth, and they appreciate the fans, and you know, they're there to do their job, but yet their job wouldn't be possible if they didn't have the fans. So.
Right. Right. Now, but they can still go to a non-PRCA event. But it's
correct.
Kind of, it's different, like credentials. Like it's different the way that they handle it. So, like if you, like you said, if a queen comes that isn't a PRCA title and she comes to one of your events, you can still honor her. But
right.
It's different, right?
Yes, ma'am. You know, and we always try. Every committee is different, and how they handle their queens and the things, their expectations. And I think you're seeing, right now we're seeing it die out a little bit, I think, and you're not seeing as many girls involved, and it's really sad to see that dying a little bit. But I think it's like everything in this world, it goes in waves, it recycles itself, and you're going to see more girls coming back. And I hope at the end of the day that, you know, Dakota can come back after she's aged out and she can take and be a director, or she can still, will be able to mentor other, you know, girls that are aspiring to be rodeo queens outside of her being a title holder or being a rodeo queen. And that, you know, the things that they learn, they'll always have those.
Yeah.
You know, the public
it's just
speaking
like,
and, yeah.
Well, it's just like, I was going to say, like, 4-H. I mean, 4-H, I feel like, goes in waves, too, because it's like, it's not as competitive as when you get out of it and you go, like, you know, into the bigger things, bigger events. You know, like, if you grow up in 4-H, it's a great thing. I think it's a great foundation, but you're only going to stay that age for so long. And, you know, when you grow up, you can either go into, like, the professional aspect of it and as far as horses is concerned. But I agree with you. I think it does kind of come and go in waves, because maybe people think that they can just skip it. But just like with 4-H and just like with these rodeo queens and the whole experience, it's something that just, I mean, something that is just so valuable for a foundation in the horse industry across the board.
100%. And I don't think it's just necessarily the horse industry either. It's the cattle industry. It's the agriculture
yep.
industry. If we don't inspire these younger kids, what's going to happen to our country, or what's going to happen to the agriculture industry? Is, do these people really know where their food comes from, or, you know, what it takes to be on a farm, or, you know, those kinds of things you always wonder about. You know, we're very fortunate that we've grown up on a farm and that we have that ability to do that. But you see some of these kids that live in the inner city, you're like, I wish I could inspire them. How can I do that? How can I,
get them involved in those kinds of things. Because there's, you know, 4-H isn't a great example. There's more than just the livestock things that they can do. There's, you know, the home ec.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, sewing and all kinds of things that it you need in general to survive, I think. So.
No, you're very right. You're absolutely right. The ag industry in a whole, because you're right, 4-H has way other chapters associated with it instead of just horses. And, like, even the cow and goat industry, I was telling somebody the other day, goats, I had a friend of mine go to a goat sale, and they saw a goat sale for $25,000. And I was like, a goat?
Yeah. I'm thinking
Are you
the same
serious?
Thing. Yeah. But I guess, you know, I guess it, on the flip side, you see that in cattle, and then you're like, but why did a cow bring that much money, or why did a horse bring that much money? But then you think about, like, the genetics and the breeding and that kind of stuff, and a lot of people don't understand that. You know, like, with Dakota being a barrel racer, you know, people don't understand, oh, yeah, a barrel horse is not a you can find a $500 horse and turn it into a barrel horse, I suppose, but to be competitive, you're not going to spend $500 and be competitive, I don't think, unless you find that diamond in the rough, just like, you know, anything. But it's so much more than people realize. And I wish and I hope and pray that we can get more kids involved, and not even just kids, parents too, to understand that there's so much more to it. And it takes a village. It really, truly does. Just like life. I think, you know, raising a kid takes a village. So,
this is true.
You know? Yeah.
Dakota, let me ask you this. As far as what you've learned in 4-H and then now in FFA and stuff like that, do you think that kind of sets you apart from other kids that aren't associated with that type of stuff? Do you think that it kind of helps you out a little more to have a little bit more experience in those areas versus other kids?
I mean, I'm not going to compare and judge, but I feel like I have gained, like, more knowledge than some of the kids in, like, my class who don't participate in these things. And I feel like I'm prepared for my future, as these kids don't, you know, do anything. Like, they just, you know, go home, sit around, you know, aren't involved in activities. And I really think that, you know, if they can get involved in activities, they'll be more prepared for our future and really want to, you know, help out in our country. And I feel like with FFA, I've, you know, since I'm a senior and I'm looking for, like, my future, I think I'm wanting to become an ag teacher and really help support the ag community and teach kids why ag is important.
Well, it really is important. I mean, just like what Tiffany said, like, you know, we're always going to need food. And so, you know, if you don't know where your food's coming from, or you don't have any knowledge in regards to what goes into food in our country, you know, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of scary if you think about it. And I don't want to think about it because it scares me. So
it is kind of
much. Yeah.
That's like that. Have you seen that picture of the McDonald's food? I don't know if it's true or not, but they talked about, like, how it stays the same for X amount of years.
I know. It's scary, isn't it? Is it really true?
It's all processed.
Does it really do? I mean, because then you think about it, well, you feed that to your kids, that can't be good. You know, so
right.
We try to stay away from that kind of stuff as much as possible.
Yeah.
But traveling on the road is not always easy. You know, it's tough. It's a tough world. And I just am so grateful for all of the things that Dakota's got to experience in the last, you know, 8 years. And as a mom, to see her shine outside of the rodeo arena is wonderful too. But she's truly in her element when she's queening and barrel racing. And that's, you know, that's so fun to see. Any kid that shines and anything they do, you appreciate. But like I've always told Dakota, you know, she gave up high school sports because she wanted to barrel race. And to me as a parent, I was sad because she was, you know, I enjoyed watching her. But then I realized she can barrel race and she can ride horses for the rest of her life. You can only play sports for so long before your body just says, I'm done. And, it, you know, and I think of that as horse, you know, barrel racing, too. You beat your body up a little bit, too, but not nearly, I don't think, as bad as you do playing sports. So.
Well, yeah, no, you're absolutely right, though. I never thought of it like that. And that's what I was getting at with my question about other kids. You know, right, we obviously we can't judge or any of that type of, mm-hmm. you know, or compare. What I was trying to get at is, you know, when you have horses, it's not like any other normal sport. You know, when you have horses, you have daily chores that you have to do. You have another animal that depends on you to take care of it. And so I didn't know if, you know, other kids, if there were kids that just didn't want to have anything to part of that, even though you guys are in a rural area, or if they were interested in that and you felt like maybe that gave you kind of a leadership value to be able to show these kids that what you do is different than what other kids don't, you know, do versus what you do?
So I definitely think that is really true. There are a few kids in my school that do show animals and raise livestock, but in my class, there's not really anybody who knows how it feels to raise livestock. And I feel like they always think that I get handed all this stuff, but I really don't. I work for it. I do my horse tours. I help around the farm. You know, I know how to take care of a horse. And I feel like some of these kids just, you know, don't understand how it feels, because I feel like I'm gaining more responsibility and learning these life skills, and they're not.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You are at an advantage because, you know, even though it feels like you're probably doing more, it's going to be worth it in the long run because, you know, you're going to be way steps ahead of some of these other kids, which is a good thing. But it's also cool because you get to have a horse, and that's even cooler.
Yeah, she's lucky.
Now
she's got three.
Oh, wow, so you got three.
Yeah.
Do you guys have other livestock there, too, or just horses?
So we have cows, and we have a few chickens. And
oh, cool.
So recently my grandpa just had hip surgery. So right now me and my grandma kind of have to take over and do all the cow chores for him.
He's taking a break.
Yeah.
He's taking a much needed break, actually. So
yeah. I was fixing to say, he's probably worked hard his whole life.
He has, you know, he's one of the, you know, meet a farmer and some of them say, well, they only work like 3 months or 6 months out of the year, but find a farmer that has livestock and they work 365 days out of the year. So it's truly one of those things that if you don't know, you don't know. So,
yeah, this is true because it's not, I mean, like it's not to say horses or rodeo or barrel racing or any of that stuff is better than any other sport. They're all, you know, great, you know, you have to put a lot of effort to, you know, be successful in any one of them, but having horses and livestock is a lot different. It is 7 days a week, 24/7. It's not.
Correct. You know, and like with sports, you've got a team. When you're barrel racing or showing any livestock, it's you. You are responsible for you and that animal. It's nobody's responsibility but yours. You know, you don't have a whole team. Yes, you've got your family and your supporters, but you go out there and it's on you. You know, if you make a mistake, it's you. It's not a team effort, per se.
And that's kind of like life.
Yes, 100%. Unfortunately, it is. So.
Now, Dakota, do you also do a part-time job in all of this, too, since you're 18? Do you do that, too, or are you going to wait till you graduate? You'll be graduating, right?
Yeah. With the horse stuff, it's kind of been busy, and I haven't really been able to have a, you know, hold a job and stuff, because I'm supposed to be riding these three horses every day, but we recently just got a lot of rain, so I haven't been able to, but you know, I'm gone almost every weekend barrel racing, so it's hard to keep three horses in shape and be able to have them perform.
Yeah. Now, did you know for a fact that you wanted to go straight into barrel racing, or what made you want to do that?
I've always wanted something to do with horses, and, you know, I thought, you know, my grandma didn't know much. Like, yes, she had horses, but we weren't raised in barrel racing, and I wasn't raised in barrel racing. We just, you know, stuck to the trail riding and then eventually got into the showing, and I've been only barrel racing for about 4 years now, and so it's been a learning experience, but I've always wanted to barrel race, I believe, and, you know, because I've wanted to be able to train my own barrel horses and make a living off of that. But, you know, with our economy and stuff, you know, you kind of have to figure out what you are able to do and what you can do.
This is very true. She speaks a lot of wisdom at 18 years old.
Yeah, right? I always say she's wise beyond her years, but I think that stems from being an only child and being around adults all of her life. So, you know, I tease her all the time. I'm like, you are wise beyond your years, and sometimes that's not good. You need to be a child and be a, you know, be a brat and be, you know, sassy and make mistakes. I mean, she makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. You and I still make mistakes in life. But
right, every day.
Yes. Be a kid. Enjoy your youth. You know, now you're a senior, you're going to graduate, and welcome to the real world. It's not so
right.
fun.
Right. So. This is true. Now, do you have any plans to go into college at all, or are you just going to go, you want to go straight into doing barrel racing full time?
Barrel racing is definitely one of my biggest dreams. For right now, I really do want to go to college. Like I said, I think I really want to become an ag teacher and really be able to teach kids about agriculture and want to inspire them to, you know, have something to do with agriculture. But I do really want to be able to train full-time barrel horses. But being able to teach kids about agriculture, I think I really want to be able to convert to a full-time job.
She's got it all planned out.
I wish I had my life planned out at 18, because I sure didn't.
Right. Well, I didn't either. I was just working. But, well, I think that's a great thing, and I think you should definitely not give up on your dream. I think you should go for it for sure. And let me ask you this. When you what's probably one of the most inspiring things that you've gotten from horses thus far, regardless of barrel racing, what's probably one of the biggest things as far as horses is concerned that has just inspired you to just keep going and doing what you're doing?
I definitely have had my downfalls with horses. 4 years ago, I lost my heart horse, and she just passed away. We don't really know why, and it was just upsetting because I didn't really want to ride, but I knew horses were always going to be in my life, and I'm just going to have to be able to understand that, you know, good things come, but they also go. So, it's just like a life lesson, you know. You kind of just can't give things, you know, you're not given things, you have to earn things. And I feel like horses have definitely taught me that, because right now I have three amazing horses that, you know, they do their job for me, and they don't know that they are out there performing. They're just doing it because they love you and they want to make you happy. And, you know, because my horse doesn't know I'm trying to get like 16 second run. She's just doing it because she knows it makes me happy. And, you know, I'm always going to be proud of her, even if we knock a barrel or we don't get the fastest time. She doesn't know that. I know it, but, you know, I can't go out there and just, you know, break her down because she did something wrong. Like, that's all on me as the rider.
I think that is amazing. Everything you said, I think it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's true sportsmanship.
Yes. And as a mom, I feel like, oh, she just touched my heart.
Right. I'm like, trying not to get teary-eyed over here.
Right?
Well, I do want to go back to one more thing. you made the comment, Tiffany, that, you know, you know nothing about horses. I mm-hmm. personally can say that, you know, I grew up around horses. My dad was horse gung-ho. We, you know, he was all about it. But my mom had nothing to do with horses the entire time, all through my life, nothing to do with them. She didn't want to ride them or nothing like that. But I learned the most about horses and being able to deal with horses from just some of the life lessons that she gave me. And I think it's cool that you remind me of that, my own situation. You remind me of that when you said that, because it's really valuable to have a perspective in the mm-hmm. horse industry that isn't a part of horses. Does that make sense? I think it really keeps people grounded.
I agree 100%, you know, and I think at the end of the day, I learn a little bit every day that we do something with the horses. You know, when we started out, I couldn't tell you a single, I shouldn't say a single, you know, body part on a horse, because that's not true, because they have the same similarities, you know, because I grew up with dairy cattle. I didn't have the horses per se, and my love for it wasn't like Dakota's is, you know. And so with anything in life, as a parent, as a aunt, as an, you know, an uncle or grandparent or whatever, you just want to see your grandchild or your niece or nephew succeed. And if that means you have to go outside of your comfort zone and learn something, then you better do it. And that's what I'm doing. And Dakota always said, Mom, I never seen you be a director for a rodeo queen, and here we are. And I said, because of you, you know, you're my inspiration. And I want to, I honestly enjoy seeing those kids succeed and seeing their smiles on their face and helping them in any way I can. And I have gained so many good friends that are, you know, because of this. And so I think that's why I do it the most. It's not just because of my kid, but because of those friendships we have made along the way and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that probably makes it a lot better as far to ease the competition perspective of it, because rodeo queens, I don't feel like when you say that and you look at that, that you think it's some fierce competition. It's more or less women supporting women and girls supporting girls to, you know, mm-hmm. create a good foundation for their future. Could you agree with that? Or
yeah, no, 100% I agree. And you know, it is a competition, but it's also you're gonna support the other person that you're, or persons that you're competing against, and you're not gonna win everything in life, in a competition, in anything you do. You don't win everything, and so right. when you see those other girls supporting each other, that's what it's all about, I think, and seeing how. You know, if Dakota loses, she's going to congratulate that person and say good job. And then she's going to think, okay, now how do I get better? What do I need to do to improve and win the next one, you know? Or what did I do wrong and how can I improve? And I think that's anything in life. You've got to figure out how you can improve. So.
Yeah, that's probably the Well, that just leads me to my next question. I guess, characteristics do you think being a rodeo queen and experience in it and going through all of the hoops and stuff to become one or any part of it, what characteristics do you think that profoundly teaches young girls when they do something like this?
Ooh, that's a very good question. You kind of caught me off guard here. I don't know, Dakota, what do you think?
Well, teaching younger girls, I definitely think thinking outside of the box is definitely something, because we answer impromptu questions that we don't know that they'll ask, and we're put on the spot like right away. So you kind of just have to be able to answer a question quickly, but you want it to be creative and something unique and something different that somebody else hasn't already said. And I think they need to be able to have, you know, good communication skills, because as a rodeo queen, you're talking to multiple people. Even if you don't like talking to them, you're going to be talking to people. And just, you know, they just need to be happy and they just need to enjoy it. Even if it's not the funnest thing in the world, you know, you just have to act like you enjoy it because, you know, there's multiple people watching you do this and there's always eyes on you. And if they see you not enjoying it, what's going to inspire them to want to do it?
Right. Very, you know, you are right. You have to be happy doing it. That's for sure. I just didn't know if it was certain. Obviously, it's going to teach things like hard work. It's going to teach things like integrity. It's going to teach things like, I want to say honest, because, you know, hard work in the ag industry or horses or showing cattle, whatever have you, it's very honest work. Like, it's very, you know, not to say other work isn't honest, but what I mean is it's, you know, it's literally getting your hands dirty and getting in there and working like that, like physical, just working to get somewhere with something. And so I didn't know what characteristics you thought were probably the most profound that the rodeo queen taught.
I think you have to be, yeah, and I think you have to be genuine to yourself, you know, and be genuine and be who you are and don't let a crown on top of your hat make you any different than if you, that wasn't there. I think you have to be honest and true to yourself and be who you are. 365 days of the year, crown or no crown, you have to be that same person. I don't think that you need to go in and say, oh, I won a title, so no, I'm better than everybody. No, you're the same as you were going into it. Now you just have to represent and, you know, be somebody in the public's eye. And I think genuinely speaking, you have to be honest, like you said, and true to yourself. And if you can't have those characteristics and those, where does this, you know, what is that teaching the younger generation and what is that truly teaching people?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, well, obviously you gain a leadership role when you have a title like that. Do you feel like you are responsible for making sure that other girls, you know, feel like it's something that they should look into and something that, you know, if they're looking up to you, that kind of puts you, you know, you hold yourself to a higher standard than everybody else if you got all these other people looking up to you, which is a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. And I think, you know, you have to go in with the mindset that I am a role model and I'm inspiring these kids, and you don't know who you're inspiring. It may be some 80-year-old man out in the stands who says, oh my gosh, you know, I wish I could be somebody like her, or she came up and shook my hand and thanked me for my service in the, you know, or was just, she went out of her way to say, hey, how you doing kind of thing. You know, and I think being a rodeo queen kind of teaches you that. Like, I have to brag on my kid a little bit. Here we go. You know, like, I go for parent-teacher conferences or whatever, and I always get compliments and people, the teachers and stuff, saying, you know, Dakota always asks us, how are you doing today, or how's your day going? You know, kind of those kinds of things. And they're like, that just brightens our day. Because not everybody does those kinds of things. And I'm like, I appreciate that feedback because, you know, you can only do so much as a parent or in the industry. And when you get those kinds of feedback, you appreciate that kind of stuff because then you realize she is learning something. They are learning something. They're becoming better humans. You know, they're learning the kindness, and we don't bully kind of people. We're kind. You know, you go out and shake somebody's hand and say, hey, how's it going kind of thing. And so those are the kind of characteristics and things that you genuinely want in the rodeo industry, I think, or in the ag industry.
Part of life.
Yeah, yep, exactly, you know. And right now I think we need to, as a whole nation, need to learn how to be kind to one another and realize that there's more to life than being negative. So...
Or just being mean. Nothing's pretty about being mean.
No, it's not. It. What are you teaching if you've got a child or a niece or a nephew? What are you teaching them?
Yeah.
You're not teaching them anything. You're teaching them that negativity is what rules this world. Well, that's not what we want. We want positivity and not. So I guess
you just want that positive aspect in life. And I think anything in the ag industry, queening, non-queening, that kind of stuff, you have to be positive. Does the life suck sometimes? Absolutely. But you got to have a positive attitude. Otherwise, you're just, it's going to stink. And you're going to get negative and you're going to bring others around you down. And that's not what you want. I personally don't think that's what you want. But
well, the way I look at it, this is what I tell myself. There's always going to be somebody that's better off and worse off than you. So you better be grateful, and then you better work to improve yourself and worry about yourself, because that's usually how it is. You know, if you find yourself having a bad day and you start complaining or something ain't going right or whatever have you, you know, I'll run across a TikTok or a post or talk to somebody, and it'll humble me and go, okay, you know what? It's not that bad. They got it way worse right now. I should be grateful. Or maybe, you know, or flip it around to the other side of it. You know, I'm watching somebody doing something and it inspires me to improve myself, to work on me, to fix things that I'm doing within myself. And I think that's just a good character trait to have as a person, regardless of the rodeo industry or ag industry. It's just a good character to have, period, as a human.
I agree with that. And, you know, you've said that to me before. You know, there's somebody better off and there's somebody worse off. And I think of that, you know, you said that, and now I'm like, oh, that resonates. And it's true. It's 100% true. And, you know, how can you improve yourself, and how can you improve the others around you, and what can you do? And, you know, if you can put a smile on somebody's face at the end of the day, to me, that's all, you know, you're doing your job as a human. So.
Now, Dakota, let me ask you this. The outfits. Do you not get to get really cool, like, queen outfits and sequins and all that kind of cool stuff?
So my wardrobe has definitely had a major upgrade throughout the years. I love wearing a lot of sparkle, and I love being able to get things personally made for myself, because, you know, they're making that to be, like, for you, and it's just something special to wear when you know it's made for you. But, you know, after you wear it so much, you know, people see it in you, on you all the time. So sometimes you kind of have to, you know, let things go to get new things. And it's always fun seeing other girls wear something you created and be able to feel good about themselves wearing the outfit that, you know, you brought to life.
Yeah, I think it's fun that you guys get to wear, like, cool kind of loud stuff. I think it's really cool because, you know, like pleasure, you said you did pleasure horses. Well, it's a lot more fashionable and sequiny and glittery now, but kind of back in the day in your average little fun show, people didn't really wear that much stuff. So I think it's cool that you kind of get to do that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I think she's become really picky about clothes because of it. You know, I think it's great. I love seeing the girls sparkle and shine and show their true personality in the clothes that they wear, and I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, rodeo, I think, gets a little bit of a leeway when it comes to that, which is kind of cool because I think Casey brought it up. It was actually kind of funny. She was like, rodeo kids and show kids are kind of two different kids, not in a comparison bad way, not in a negative way, but it just is what it is. You know, like rodeo, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have to clip your horse and band them and do all kinds of this, like, aesthetic thing. Rodeo, you can literally pull up to a rodeo looking like you look and you can win it.
Right. You can look, you know, like a homeless person off the street and win it, I'm telling you, but you're very correct.
So. Whereas Pleasure World, it's like you put a lot of effort, which is nothing. I did it. No, I'm not clowning it, but you can put a lot of effort into all of this stuff. Like, I literally used to have a curling iron in my dressing room when we would go to shows, and I would curl my horse's hair under, and like you go through all of this stuff just to kind of go around in a circle a couple of times. So it was funny because it's true, and that's really kind of cool. Not to say that the competition is any less or better or anything of that nature, but mm-hmm. it was funny the way that she made it, because I was like, you know what, you're right, I didn't think about that.
yeah 100%, you know. And it's the rodeo industry sometimes is the glitz and the glam, and then it's the, oh, well, maybe it doesn't have to be all glitz and glam. It can be oh, I pulled up and my boot has a hole in it, but I'm going to still go out and compete. You know, nobody's going to notice that hole.
Right.
Maybe they will, but probably not, you know, and, oh, I have a hole in my jeans. I'm sitting in a saddle. They're not going to see that, you know, kind of thing. So, whereas, you know, in the pleasure world, they see those things. They look at those things. And in the cattle showing industry, they're going to see that too. So it's different, and it's everything you do in life has its pros and cons, and I love seeing the fun side of the queening world and the rodeo world and the, you know, and in ag in general, you just enjoy all of that.
So have you guys ever shown any other livestock?
I did. I grew up showing dairy cattle, actually.
And I this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's this girl on TikTok. I don't know if it's the same. You know what? This is a good question to ask you. I don't know if it's the same thing or not, so correct me if I'm wrong. But there's this girl on TikTok, and she's like, her little TikTok's kind of blown up because she shows pigs. And
oh,
the way
I know
that,
who you're talking about.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. And she has like this, like, you know, like this dead stare and is just like super concentrated. Is that who you're talking about?
Yes, and they said, yeah, they said it's that's what you're supposed to do. Like, they explained how the way that she's walking the pig with the stick and looking just like her look, that's actually how you're supposed to show them. And me, I had no idea that you had to do that.
Yeah, you're serious. And the pig, when you're showing pigs, you're serious. You're not out there smiling and looking like you're having a good time. You're serious. And I think, you know, like me growing up and showing dairy cattle, it was all business. It wasn't, you know, I always got made fun of, and I still do, because I don't smile all the time, and everybody's like, you need to smile. And I'm like, it's a mindset. It was growing up showing cattle. You didn't. You had to be serious. And so now.
Why is that? Hold on. Why is that? Why did you guys have to be so serious? Was it just the way that it's set up that way, or?
Yeah, it's like a different mentality. It's like you're concentrating so hard proving that particular animal, a dairy cattle or a pig, is what it is. It's, you know, you're seeing something that nobody else is, so you're very serious. And it's not about, you know, yeah, it's about winning. And I think that's where that mentality is. It's, you're out there to win. You're not out there to look the prettiest or, you know, shine bright or anything like that. It's serious. It's serious business. And the horse industry, I think it's different. It's, you want to show off and you want to look good. And I could be wrong, could be very wrong, but I don't know. It's just so serious. And I don't, I wish I could, you know, say why it's so serious, but it's just, it's competition, I think. And I know being in the horse industry too, it's competition, but
yeah,
I don't know. I wish I could say why it's different.
It is though, because I've never, like, I didn't grow up around cows, pigs, or none of that. We did horses, but we didn't grow up around any type of livestock like that. And I had no idea that was like the standard of how you were to show those types of animals. Because you're right, in the horse industry, rodeo, pleasure, all of it, it is competitive. You do want to win, obviously. People don't drop this kind of money to just not win. But,
right.
You are, it's not necessarily required for you to smile, but it looks better for you to present yourself in a happy, delightful, you're kind of like, when you think you want to present yourself in the best way that you can, you're going to smile, you're going to sit up, you're going to put your shoulders back, you know what I mean? Versus, I'm watching this girl on TikTok show this pig, and I'm like, is she really supposed to be doing that? And they're like, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be done. And I'm like, mind blown here. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's different. And I guess it's a different competitiveness, and I don't know, showing cattle and pigs is different than showing a horse, and I wish I could explain why or know why, tell you why.
We got to figure this out.
Yeah, right? I think it's, I don't know, mentality maybe.
Maybe it's because we actually consume
pigs and cows. Maybe it's a serious, maybe it's serious because the wind. Yeah, maybe because it's the wind is going to present the best, like what you said, bloodlines, and that's going to be the best to consume for humans or something. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going to have to Google this and find this out because I've kind of been in the back burner of my brain.
Right? It's something. I have a guy in town that always says, hey, Smiley. And I'm like, you know, he says that because he's like, you need to smile. And I'm like, okay. So now every time I see him, I have to smile. But
he's like, leave me alone.
Yeah. I'm like, but I guess it's the seriousness or... you're going to have to Google it, and you're going to have to say, hey, Tiff, this is why it is. I'm going to Google it myself.
We need to, or maybe Dakota can ask, if you've got FFA there, ask them what the difference is or why is it like that, because that would be interesting to know why, because, I mean, obviously when you're doing something and you're in and you're around it and you're in the environment and stuff of that nature, it's normal to them. It's normal to those people who show pigs and cows. Like, you know, that's normal for you guys. But for people like me, we're just kind of sitting here like, is that right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of like the same as happy. Like, that's our job. Like, it's like, you know, we have to be smiling and happy. And I think a lot of it, like how you guys were talking about it, was the mentality. But I think it's more of you're out there to prove why your animal is the best. And, like, you should take my animal serious over this animal. And, like, explain, like, you're showing, like, when you're showing their animal, you want to prove that you are the best. So I feel like having that straight face and whatnot is proving that, you know, you are the best, and this is why you should pick my animal over somebody else's animal.
It says, okay, so apparently this girl, I'm Googling as that. I think you're right, and because I just kind of Googled this, and I don't know if this is right or not, but it actually brings up this girl's TikTok. It's called Dadson Farms Show Pigs, and they need to keep an eye on the judge because in the beginning, the judge will point to them, which is pinning them into a holding pen to move on to the next round. So they call it making the cut. So I guess that's why they keep an eye. They're looking at the judge the entire time. And hold on, what's this one say? And it also, well, it says that they want to show how much control they have over their pig.
Yeah, that makes complete sense because you go to the, like, the local county fairs and you see all of these serious people, and then you see the kids that, oh, their mom and dad are like, okay, go out there and do it, and their pigs are running all over, you know, and they're chasing pigs, and you're like, oh, so they're just out there to have fun. And you see the serious ones that are like, yes, we're dead serious. We want you to pick my pig because it's the best, or my cow because it's the best. I'm out there to have fun. I'm out there to be serious. I'm not there to have fun I mean, you're probably having fun, but you're not showing that expression of having fun.
Maybe right, because it is. Yeah, no, you're hitting on it because I'm actually reading like a little forum about it, and it says that the fact that the handler doesn't have to look at their animal, the pig or the cow, whatever have you, and can look directly at the judge. It shows the amount of control that they have over that animal, which shows a better showmanship of the animal. If they stay locked in on the judge, it shows the judge that they have the most control over their animal versus, like, me. If I decided to start showing pigs, I'd be out there running out. I'd be like herding cats.
Right?
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to control my pigs.
That was me showing pigs. The 2 years I showed pigs, I was like, oh, this is just out there slapping a pig and trying to get it in front of the judge kind of thing. I wasn't serious about it. Now a dairy cattle, absolutely. I was, like, set, and, you know. So, yeah, I get it.
That's crazy how much different it is because even, like, with horses, Dakota, you said you did pleasure and you did 4-H, right? Did you show 4-H?
I did show 4-H. So I also showed dairy cows. I actually showed goats a few, like, 2 years, and then I showed sheep for a few years as well.
Oh, my. Okay, so what's the difference between showing goats and showing sheep?
Don't ask me because that was a long time ago. I think, like, definitely you're kind of, so in livestock judging, it's kind of the same, like, you're judging the same thing, but how, you know, what they're producing, basically. So, like, obviously a sheep can't produce, you know, milk that we drink, but a goat can, because you can drink goat's milk, you know?
Right.
And, you know, there's people that eat more sheep than they do goats, but they...
Right, but you still show them the same, like, in the same manner.
I think so, yeah. Don't quote me on that, though, because I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you showed them.
Oh, she showed them.
I showed them, but I'm not 100% sure. This was, like, when I was, like, 8 and, like, 10.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what I did from 7 to 12. So it's okay. I get it.
Heck, I don't remember what I did 5 minutes ago sometimes. Let's be real.
Right. I can't even tell you what I did last week. So it's okay. I get it. So it's really cool that you showed or you dabbled into that part of it. I think it would be interesting to see if you remember to ask your FFA person. I wonder what they would say if you asked them why the handler is asked to present the pig or cow like that. It would be cool to see what they say.
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
I think you need to because I don't think her FFA advisor showed any animals. So I would like to know what his response or somebody else's response in general is go out to the people that show maybe and say, hey, why do you present like this? Why are you so serious?
Yeah. I just didn't know if it was like in the rule book, like if it was a rule book that kind of stated it or it was just a general thing that you have to do. Kind of like, you know, like with horses, like showmanship versus horsemanship, you know, or confirm, you know, like, you know, if you're showing a horse for their confirmation, the focus is on the horse and not the person. So you don't necessarily have to be of a certain standard, even though most of us are, versus showmanship, you know, you're judging the person and how they handle the horse, you know, so.
Right.
And it's like stated in a rule book, like it explains to you what it is. So, and it's like somebody just telling me, hey, you need to look serious to control your pig. I'd be like, okay, but why?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a good thing. Something to ask, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is something to ask, but you're glad. So, but Dakota and you guys aren't going to, you're not going to be doing any of that. You're going to stick to barrel racing and you're going to rodeo it out.
Yep.
Yep. She's dead set on that barrel racing and rodeo queen. And I don't think I can get that out of her anytime soon. And that's okay. You know, that's where she wants to be and that's what makes her happy. So go for it.
Absolutely, 110% go for it. I think it's awesome. And, well, let me ask you one more question. What's your favorite thing about barrel racing, though? When you're on the pattern and you're in the ring, what's your favorite thing about it?
I think it's just, you know, I always want to get better, yes, but I like that my horse is running good and that, you know, she's having fun and I'm doing it because we were in a slump for a while where she didn't really want to do barrel racing. And she was hurting, and we didn't know why. And, well, we found out what was hurting her, and we were able to fix that. And I feel like she's starting to really enjoy barrel racing again. It's not her favorite thing. I got to say pole bending is her favorite thing, and it's probably my favorite thing is because she's so good at it, and she enjoys it. And, you know, when she enjoys it, I'm going to enjoy it.
Right. And probably going really fast left to right fun, too.
Yeah, it's something different, and I feel like when you're barrel racing and, you know, it's always good for those horses to do something other than just barrel racing. Like, pole bending, yes, it teaches them different, like, how to move their body, like, side passing. It, like, teaches them how to side pass, and, you know, they have to do rollbacks to pole bend and get around those end poles. So it's just teaching them a different move and how to move their body around poles compared to barrels. Because in barrels, they're going to be doing the same thing, but poles is a little bit more competitive because there's 6 of them, not 3, there's 6 of them. So,
right.
You know, it's like a different mentality for them to really think about how to move their body compared to around barrel racing.
You're that's funny that you just said that, because I've heard a lot of professionals say that. So that's cool that you just said that. It's good for barrel horses or any of the disciplines to do something different besides what you actually show them for, because it does keep them fresh. So that's a really good thing.
You got to do something different. Step out of your comfort zone.
Well, no, yeah, it's good for the horse. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good for everybody.